Atlantic to the Pacific, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild, wild world. So keep it tuned right here. And don't forget, you can go to speakingofstrange.com for a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, more information on topics discussed, and links to the official Haunted Asheville Ghost Tour. You can also come and see the museum, the Asheville Mystery Museum, located in the Asheville Masonic Temple in the basement. Just go to hauntedasheville.com, and you'll also find a Facebook link, Twitter, all that kind of business. So, here it is, hour number two of tonight's special program. Just, you know, skirting back in town here for a few days before I head back off on my big adventures. And this hour, we're going to talk some about what is being considered by at least a couple groups out there, the 25 biggest mysteries of history. And also dig into some other sort of breaking news of the weird. In the studio with Hardwood Forest Connor, we have investigator Shelley Wright, and joining us by telephone from his underground bunker deep in the middle of the mountains, Mr. Mobius. Are you with us, sir?
I am here.
How you been, Mobius?
Oh, it's been kind of busy. You've left and everything has just gone crazy, but in a good way.
In a good way? How has it been a good way?
Because the fact that everybody wants something that we have and we hold the interest, I guess, is a positive thing.
I've left this program as the, maybe I shouldn't use that word on the air, but the unknown child. Maybe, can I say redheaded stepchild, Shelley? This show is now the redheaded stepchild of my roster of activities. But no, I want to thank you, Mobius, and Mr. Connor for doing a good job keeping some best ofs up and running. And I know you weren't with us the first segment, Mobius, but I've told everybody that even though we're spending a lot of time out of the radio studio, doing the TV stuff, getting ready to go to Transylvania and all that, when we finally can come back and talk about everything, it's just going to be ecstasy. It's going to be an absolute quivering moment of pure, unadulterated pleasure. Would you say that's accurate to say?
Oh, yeah. It might even be an underestimate.
Well said. Mobius, you know, here I am trying to capture this tiger by the tail. It's April, it's 2012. Things are going nuts. And one thing that I mentioned earlier, I want to get your opinion on it. I've been kind of surprised. As I travel the country and I end up in these situations where I'm discussing people's opinions on how everything is evolving, I keep running into people who, honest to God, think there is a potential zombie apocalypse that may break out. I mean, and this is no longer in the realm of fiction. They think people's minds are going to be infected and infested with something that's going to drive them to madness and make them do weird, unpleasant things. Have you discovered this as well? That, I mean, this has gone into the realm of potential reality for people?
The story's out that our guns on the shelves are selling four times faster than they can be manufactured. Ammunition cannot be kept in stock. And just when you wonder, is there even an ounce that could possibly make sense of this, the Russians go and announce that they've created a new electromagnetic weapon that can turn human beings into walking zombies.
Really?
So, you know, yeah. One little bit of fact in the middle of all this chaos. It seems like they have a weapon system that can indeed do something like this.
So maybe they're using it already.
Well, I think it's pretty preliminary, but, you know, who knows a little bit down the line how quickly they could create such a device and deploy it. Imagine plugging this into something like HAARP. Then you've got a true, you know, like major weapon.
Well, you brought a story to my attention right when I got back into town, which is pretty fitting for us, because those who have followed our work for years may remember that, I don't know, several years ago, and I know you remember this, Forrest, I led Lemur on an experiment we call the Genesis Experiment. And the idea, as wacky as it may seem, was to take, I believe we had three different containers of hermetically sealed, pure medical-grade water, labeled A, B, and C.
Those are still in the old Lemur lab, actually.
Are they still there? Okay.
They are.
Might be interesting to go back and reanalyze those, because the idea was we were going to take one of these and use it as a control, and the other was going to be placed at a location. A picture of it and the latitude and longitude was to be put on a website, and I got on Coast to Coast AM, reaching millions of people, and I asked them all to focus their thoughts on this bottle of water to see if they could create life inside. Life in the bottle. Now, Shelley, you probably never heard of this, right?
No, that was before my time.
It was one of the many crazy things that we've done. And I think we let this experiment go for several weeks. And then we sent the control off for analysis. And I think the reason we had three, one was absolute control. Nobody thought about it. Nobody knew where it was. The second one was the one that the whole world was focusing on. And the third one was one that just the Lemur guys focused on. Right, Forrest?
Yes.
So, and of course, we were wondering, could life just sort of spontaneously erupt from thought? Could mind over matter actually go that far? So we sent them off for analysis, and the guy who analyzed them said, no, there was no trace of life. So it seemed like, okay, it was a fun thing to try out, but nothing happened. But then, Mobius, you sent me this new news report. Headline, teleportation of DNA molecules. And you said, hey, you need to read this. It ties in to that experiment that you did. And some of the stuff that we did for the Warner Brothers movie, which is supposed to come out finally this year. Did you know that, Forrest? The Apparition? Yeah, the movie we worked on like 2 years ago is finally supposedly going to come out. Here's the story, and let me just read this and try to keep up with this. It's not that complicated, but, okay, many physicists are perplexed after a publication by Luc Montagnard, a Nobel Prize-winning biologist, and his team of scientists. They cited details of an experiment where a fragment of DNA appeared to teleport itself between test tubes. In the experiment, the scientist, Montagnard, placed two test tubes in a weak electromagnetic field, about 7 hertz. One of the test tubes contained a small piece of bacterial DNA, and the other held pure water. 18 hours later, after DNA amplification, the DNA was detected in its neighboring test tube containing the pure water. And when the scientists tried to test it with different controls, reducing the time limit, putting water in both test tubes, eliminating the electromagnetic field, blah, 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 no teleportation occurred. So what's most puzzling about the results is not the actual imprint of the DNA on the water, but rather the time it took to manifest itself. Normally, quantum phenomena occur within fractions of a second, and usually at temperatures closer to absolute zero, not room temperature. So along with new suggestions regarding the quantum nature of reality, the test might also suggest that life depends on the projection of quantum phenomena in ways we have yet to understand. Okay, Mobius, so I bet there are people out there who are like, what the hell did he just read? Can you try to explain what I just read?
Okay, let's see if we can simplify this.
Okay.
The man took two test tubes that were placed somewhat close together, and he exposed them to a very low-frequency electromagnetic field. The contents that had life in tube one, somehow or another, in a sealed environment, jumped to the sealed tube number two. But one point here that I instantly keyed into, and I don't want to give away anything about the Warner Brothers movie, but I will say that 7 hertz is exactly the frequency range of an active, awake brain. And this has something to do with the premise of the Warner Brothers movie in creating a monster. I think I can go that far, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. At this point, so, you go as far as you want. Who gives a crap, right? It's been 2 years.
So if you combine the experiment you did
right,
and the experiment we did with Warner Brothers, you create this experiment.
So the point being, maybe when you subject a liquid to the frequency of a brain, somehow DNA is able to not only appear, but actually teleport wherever the field is directing the energy, right?
Yes.
Okay. Shelley, did you get that?
I think so, but...
another thing, let's see here. Okay, we got a couple minutes before our first break. This is a story, and these are kind of old. It's funny now, a story comes out, and like a day later it's old, because everybody is exchanging information so quickly. We have this story from China about a couple girls who committed suicide because they were trying to time travel. You remember this story, Mobius, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Schoolgirls committed suicide in an attempt to travel through time. And I won't go into all the details of how they did this. They were fifth graders. They drowned themselves in a pool and left behind a suicide note suggesting they were hoping to become time travelers after death. Well, this is a creepy, weird story, but, you know, they probably did. I mean, when you die, you probably do enter a realm outside of what we consider our regular past, present, and future. But
yes.
Probably everybody does that, though. But it's weird that these fifth graders were thinking that way.
Yeah, most of us wait until the end of life to do this. We don't kind of, you know, jump the gun, but
yeah.
It's a very odd story.
Years ago, a buddy of mine came to me and he said, you know, I'm thinking about committing suicide. And I told him, I said, hey, look, just be patient. You're going to die. Don't worry. It's going to happen. You don't have to rush it. And it worked. He didn't kill himself. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll touch briefly on this Ouija board murder, and then we're going to talk some about the 25 biggest mysteries in history. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the program where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange.
They turn it out.
Speaking of strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. Shortly, we'll be digging into the 25 biggest mysteries of history, at least according to this particular analysis. We'll see if you agree with that. And keep in mind, here it is now, springtime, and the weather is starting to get really crazy. Tornadoes are breaking out, and, you know, the crazy weather season has just begun. Before you know it, it'll be time for the hurricanes to kick in. And if the mild winter we had is any indication, then the warmth that we're going to have is really going to stir up some horrific air currents. You don't have to sit around and be out of power, however. You can get yourself a Sunshine Simple generator. If you don't know about it, go watch the short demo video. It's a generator for the home created by my team. And, you know, it started with the generator that I needed for my own house. So go to sunshinesimple.com and take a look at it. Sunshinesimple.com. Mobius, the Ouija board story is one that a lot of people have been talking about the past few weeks. You've heard about this one, I'm sure.
Yes, I have.
Shelley, do you know about the Ouija board story?
Nope.
Okay. Well, that's good. Not everybody's heard it yet. When you've been gone for you know, a month, and you're going back and you're going over things, you don't know how much people have heard about. But this is from Wallaska, Texas. And apparently there was a 14-year-old boy who was playing with a Ouija board, and a couple of his buddies were there, and at one point, the boy pulls out a knife and stabs his friend pretty viciously and claims that he did it because the Ouija board told him to do it. And so, you know, they dragged the friend to an auto repair shop, called an ambulance. Fortunately, the kid who was stabbed did not die, but, you know, right now, the story they're sticking to as well, you know, the kid was just following the directions that the Ouija board gave him. Now, you don't look convinced as a good motive here, Shelley. What are you thinking?
No. I'm thinking, you know, that's ridiculous.
Right.
The devil told me to do it, that type of thing. No.
Right.
No.
You've played with Ouija boards before.
Yep.
And have they ever told you to do something?
Never.
Never? And if they did, you wouldn't be like, oh, got to do it. Ouija board said it.
No.
That's too bad. Because if so, we could rig up that Ouija board a little bit. We could make it say some things. Maybe we should try it out. And just
maybe we should.
Maybe we should, you know, make a Ouija board say some things and see if we can frighten you into doing what it says. You don't think that's possible?
I don't think that's possible. Hmm.
What do you think about this story, Mobius?
I've read it, and it just seems bizarre. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a history of violence, but as I understood, they also had a history of smoking pot at the location. Mm-hmm. It's just a bizarre story. It does not make any sense.
Okay. Well, okay, let's get to this list of the 25 biggest mysteries of history. And let's see. This is from list25.com. And they kind of count it down. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this in terms of, you know, it would take too long to talk about 25 different stories. But I like what they start the list with. Number 25, the Roanoke Colony. Because that is a story that is connected to North Carolina, you know, the lost colony. And this is the scenario when the first English settlers tried to create their settlement here, and they all vanished. And to this day, nobody knows what happened to them. I think it took place around 1590. And, you know, what I find interesting about this state, and I've talked about this a lot, there is an alignment. You start here in Asheville, these haunted mountains, the oldest mountains in North America, the highest mountains east of the Mississippi. You start going east, and you go through Brown Mountain and the Devil's Tramping Ground, and you get down there to the East Coast where you have the Lost Colony, but also so many ships have sunk off the coast of North Carolina. They call it the graveyard of the Atlantic. I mean, over 1,000 ships have sunk off the coast of North Carolina in the past couple hundred years. In fact, Cape Fear is named Cape Fear because so many of those shoals there have been treacherous for ships that were sinking the Cape Fear River. You ever been to the Cape Fear area, Forrest? I know you make your way around this. Have you?
Yes.
I've never been to Cape Fear. I've been to Cape Hatteras and all that. What is it like at Cape Fear? Anything special?
I mean, not really. I mean, I can't say there's anything that really weird feelings that got there or anything, but just another part of this area, if you ask me.
Oh, well, thanks for nothing, then. We move on. Number 24, they say, is the Sailing Stones. Now, we've seen that, right? This is the place in Death Valley where the there's a dry lake bed, and these 700-pound stones just kind of slide across the surface of the earth. I hesitate to ask this question. Forrest, you've been to Death Valley, haven't you?
I have.
Was there anything special about it?
No.
Thanks, Forrest.
No, actually, Death Valley, I mean, it was very hot.
Didn't you spend, like, Thanksgiving there?
I did. There's an oasis. It's Furnace Gate Inn, right in the middle of Death Valley. It's like this oasis that's there. It has actually, I don't know if it's a natural water source there, but there's a water source there, and they've got, it's all like landscaped and groomed and green. And
naturally?
And I don't know. I don't know if they've...
The little elves come out.
I don't know if someone has like piped water in from somewhere, or I don't know what the story is behind it.
The Death Valley Gnomes.
I mean, some of our listeners in Pahrump might be able to tell you more about Furnace Gate Inn and Death Valley than I could.
I hope so. I hope they'll email us and let us know. Tonopah, yeah. You've never seen any of the trails that the stones have left behind?
I've seen pictures.
Yeah.
I mean, people have theorized they're all... It's like ice mysteriously forms and they move and the winds blow them, which is...
Right.
But no one's ever actually seen these things happen, as far as I know.
Maybe they're kind of like those mysterious skid marks we find in your underwear, Forrest.
Maybe.
They magically, enigmatically appear. Nobody knows from whence they come. Those brown stones that glide, in the middle of the night, tainting the fabric. Number 23, the Taos Hum. Okay, we've talked about that before. Taos, New Mexico. People, they are driven to madness by this odd, low-pitched humming sound. Nobody knows what causes that. Number 22, the WOW signal. Mobius, you're the big UFO guy. You want to talk about the WOW signal? Do you know enough about that?
I know a lot about the WOW signal.
Okay.
It all comes down to repeatability. If that signal had been detected twice... or even three times, I think it would have been completely believed to have been of ET origin. It is an amazing signal, but it just did not repeat.
So this is a SETI thing. In August of 1977, SETI detected this incredibly organized pattern of, I guess, some type of a radio signal that came in from the cosmos, right?
Right. They tried their best to debunk it, to find satellites or any way that it could have been of earthly origin. It was never debunked, but it was also never repeated. So it becomes one of those interesting things that simply we will hope that is detected again.
And it lasted 72 seconds. Number 21, Vile Vortices. Ivan T. Sanderson referred to 12 geographic areas around the world known for mysterious disappearances as the Vile Vortices. The best known is the Bermuda Triangle. Others include the Algerian megaliths to the south of Timbuktu, the Devil Sea near Japan. Okay. Number 20, ball lightning. Still, nobody knows exactly how ball lightning is formed, but if you read our Brown Mountain Lights research, it probably gives you some possible insight there. Got to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue going down the list. We have things like spontaneous combustion, Tunguska, and some things that you probably have never heard about. For example, have you ever heard of the Babushka Lady? I'd never heard of that, but it's pretty interesting. We're talking about right now the 25 biggest mysteries of history. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Biggest mysteries, the skid marks in Forrest Connor's underwear. Got it? Okay.
Got it.
Enigmatic brown nuggets. Nobody can understand how they transport themselves at night from one side to the other. Okay, see, we're building on the list. We're adding on to it. Maybe it's the underwear gnomes.
Maybe.
We're going down the list. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. In fact, I just saw this story. A man apparently has been busted for smuggling gold in diapers.
Does he live in Woodfin?
In that case, one of Shelley's customers, I'm sure. An Indian man in detention being caught at an airport smuggling $150,000 worth of gold coins inside baby diapers. I wonder if those diapers were on the baby. It doesn't say. Let's see. You know, also, I mentioned a little earlier, just strange story that I saw. You know that story, Snakes on a Plane, the movie. You know, it's hard to cover a story about snakes on a plane without cursing.
Yes.
Because you want to be like, oh, mother, snakes on a plane. Yeah. We all know. But this actually happened recently in Darwin, Australia. Fittingly enough, pilot made an emergency landing. And he says, quote, you know, he says, you're not going to believe this. I've got little snakes on my plane. And, the guy, that would be unnerving, huh? Landed the plane. The guy says as the plane was landing, the snake was crawling down his leg. Isn't that something? That's just incredible. Believed to be a green tree snake. And there was also a frog on the aircraft. So they're thinking that maybe the snake had followed the frog on. And you had a story earlier you shared, Shelley, about frogs, right?
Yes, yes. Beware of salad greens, the prepackaged salad mix that you buy in the grocery store.
Yeah,
people keep finding little frogs in there.
Really?
Yes.
They're finding frogs in their lettuce.
Yes, yes.
Hmm. Well, in Puerto Rico, they have a tiny, tiny little frog that's about the size of, like, the top of my pen called the coqui.
Aww.
And it goes,
coqui, coqui.
And if you find one, it's considered very, very lucky. They're hard. They're very camouflaged. And I found one time.
Did you let it go or did you eat it?
I squished it.
No, you didn't.
Just I was like, I hate you, little coqui. I kissed him and I sent him off onto a rainbow and he floated into the distance. So anyway, another story. We'll get to that one later. Mobius, you with us?
I'm here.
Okay. As you can tell, we've been drinking a concoction of hand sanitizer and Listerine. You heard about this new beverage?
No, this one I have not heard.
Okay, well, it explains a lot. And if you smoke a cigarette after you've been drinking it, it takes you to number 19 on our list, spontaneous human combustion. We all know about this. I'm open to the idea that once in a while people just explode. Do you guys think that it's possible? Life is a vast... enigmatic compendium of strange things. Okay, fine. Number 18, Tunguska explosion. We still don't know exactly what caused Tunguska. But, you know, the thing I always thought was kind of creepy about Tunguska is if you look at the pattern that was left in the trees when the object exploded, it looks like a butterfly, like a big winged being, like Mothman. And if you've seen the Mothman prophecies, you know how spooky the moth butterfly winged imagery can be. So maybe it was the devil. He crashed back to Earth. Number 17. Listen to me. Number 17, Bermuda Triangle. Okay. Number 16, Bigfoot. I'm still not sold on Bigfoot. Are you sold on Bigfoot so far, Shelley?
No.
Mobius?
Not as a physical entity, possibly something that appears in our reality and can disappear.
Right. Most of the Bigfoot guys say, well, that's nonsense. But they believe in Bigfoot.
They believe in Bigfoot.
Number 15, Atlantis. I think Atlantis is always going to be whatever a particular diver wants it to be. You know, I mean, anytime a diver finds a new boulder somewhere, oh, I've discovered Atlantis.
It's an extension of the Bimini Road.
Yeah. Of course, while I was gone, I read in the news, James Cameron went to the bottom of the Marianas Trench. Yeah, became the third person ever to do this. Did you know this, Shelley?
I think I heard about it.
Yeah, he took a submarine down there, and he was going to spend hours gathering samples, but he had a hydraulic leak. Any type of a leak down there, that's bad news. He's lucky he's alive. Now he wants to go back, he says. Number 14, Amelia Earhart. You know, I've never thought Amelia Earhart was that big of a mystery.
No, she crashed in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, exactly.
She was a terrible pilot. She was.
Really?
Yes.
I guess so, yeah.
I mean, everyone, there's a bunch of hype around her because she was a female pilot, but all in all, if you look at her her peers at the time, they said, despite her being a woman, she was a terrible pilot.
Despite her being a woman? Shelley?
Can you reprise that?
No. I mean, there's like all the hype around her being the first female pilot to do this and do that, blah, blah, and there's all kinds of hype around her, but... all in all, she was a terrible pilot.
So, I guess Forrest actually said something complimentary, but I don't think he meant it that way.
No. She was a terrible pilot.
Well,
she sucked.
I mean, it's like everybody said, don't get on an airplane and fly across the Pacific. You're probably going to die. And then she disappears, and everybody says, the mystery, the enigma, the phenomenon. What possibly happened to her? I don't think it's that spectacular.
She crashed.
Yeah, she's in the ocean. Mobius, do you have any thoughts?
Same thing, other than maybe, she was kept as a slave by the Japanese for a while.
Even more interesting. Number 13, the Voynich Manuscript, a medieval document written in an unknown language. For hundreds of years, its contents have remained a mystery, although the prevailing theory is that it served as a pharmacopoeia. I don't know what that is. The puzzling illustrations have fueled many other theories about its origins and content. Okay. Number 12, the El Chupacabra. And I went into the Buckhorn Saloon down there in Austin, Texas. No, I'm sorry, that was in San Antonio, Texas. Very cool place. My second time there. But this time around, they have a model of a quote-unquote chupacabra. And, the Texas version of the chupacabra is just a mangy coyote, basically. Puerto Rico version is like an alien with spines down its back that is able to whip off into the sky like the Tasmanian devil. But a lot of people in this country, they think of the El Chupacabra as a much more, diminutive, less intimidating creature. Number 11, the Bimini Road. We touched on that. Number 10, Mothman. Mothman's always a good one. Now, number 9, the Babushka Lady. Listen to this. A mysterious woman wearing a brown overcoat and scarf on her head that appears in numerous photos immediately following the Kennedy assassination. Her name came from the fact that Russian grandmothers, also called babushkas, used to wear similar scarves. It's hard to tell from the photographs, but it seems she's taking pictures. And although the FBI publicly requested for her to come forward with her footage, she never did. That's interesting. I never heard of that. We're friends with Jim Mars and everything. Never heard of the babushka lady.
Maybe we should ask him about it.
Yeah. You know about the babushka lady, Mobius?
No, I had not heard about that.
Okay. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to finish up the last 8 items on this list. And then it's going to be Dark 30 time. And my goodness, the stack of Dark 30 material, it's a big pulsating, seething, gremlin-esque egg of gross matter that we're just going to dive deep into and see what we look like when we come out the other side. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Thank you.
minutes of hour number two. On tonight, speaking of strange, I am Joshua P. Warren, going down the list here of, well, what at least one site considers the 25 greatest mysteries of history. Number eight on the list, the Black Dahlia. And, of course, most of you probably have some knowledge of that. In 1947, the body of Elizabeth Short, also known as the Black Dahlia, according to local newspapers, was found in two pieces. That's right, she was cut in half in an L.A. parking lot. There has been much speculation over the source of her nickname, and in spite of one of the largest investigations by police in history, no murderer was ever found. There was a movie that came out not too long ago about the Black Dahlia. Number seven, D.B. Cooper. Well, that was the guy in November of 1971 who leapt from a Boeing 727 at night over the northwestern forest. After receiving $200,000 in ransom money, he just jumped out with the parachute, and to this day, nobody knows who he was, what happened. Never heard of again. Several thousand dollars with serial numbers matching the ransom money were discovered along the banks of the Columbia River years later. So maybe he just, you know, died and the pack got ripped open. Nobody can say. Number six, the Zodiac Killer. In the 1960s, he murdered at least five people in Northern California. Famous for taunting the police with cryptic letters that contained information he claimed would reveal his identity. And so far, nobody has satisfactorily determined who he was. Number five, the Marfa Lights. Now, you know, I think it should be the Brown Mountain Lights instead, because Brown Mountain is not on this. And I cannot, again, tell you too much about the TV show I'm working on, but I did finally get to go to Marfa and investigate the Marfa Lights. And I had some third-generation night vision technology with me, and I was able to record some pretty strange stuff that hopefully you will get to see on television. If you're interested in that kind of thing, go look at some of the night vision footage of weird phenomena at paratemporal.com. There's also a link at joshuapwarren.com. But yes, I have been to Marfa, and I think Brown Mountain is more interesting. Number four, Jimmy Hoffa. Hey, what happened to Jimmy Hoffa, right? Number three, Jack the Ripper. Nobody knows who he was. Number two, the Mary Celeste. On November 7th of 1872, the Mary Celeste was a ship that departed New York with Captain Briggs, his wife, young daughter, and a crew of eight. It was expected to dock in Italy. However, none aboard were ever seen again. The ship itself was found floating in the middle of the Strait of Gibraltar with no signs of a struggle and everything intact except for a missing captain's log. That is pretty weird. And that brings us to number one on the list. Now, Forrest Connor.
Yes, sir?
What do you think is number one on the list, this list, of the 25 greatest mysteries of the world?
We've got the underwear.
That's number 26.
Right.
The mysterious skid marks. Shelley, while he's thinking, do you have... What now?
Drawing a blank at the moment.
Mobius?
I am looking at the page.
Oh, okay, so you'd be cheating.
Well, you know, what should be on there is UFOs.
I disagree with the number one.
Well, actually, one thing that you've not hit on, which I'll take a stab at, the Loch Ness Monster.
Are you cheating, Forrest?
No.
Really? You didn't know that?
No.
Look, all hell's broken loose. Objects are flying off the... Yeah, it's the Loch Ness Monster.
Cool.
You kept track of things. Your knowledge of the paranormal was great enough. You realized the Loch Ness Monster had to be in there somewhere.
Right.
Okay. I knew that we kept Forrest around here for a reason. He's right. The Loch Ness Monster is considered the number one. I disagree with that. I think the Loch Ness Monster is an interesting mystery, but number one?
Well, I mean, there's some things on there I thought should have been higher than what they were or, and lower than what they were.
Because,
you know, I mean...
Mobius, do you disagree with number one?
I would place it somewhere on the list of interest.
Yeah.
But no, I would say number one, UFOs have been seen in every culture. They have a history that goes back as far as recorded human documentation, cave drawings. No, it does not compete to me with this.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it will be the Dark 30 Hour. Not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. This is when we dig the most controversial and outrageous material as of late. Some of you should just go to bed now. Just turn off the radio. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange, don't touch that dial.